This is Pastor Emery. The Red Bolsheviks have stated for over 100 years that their goal is the conquest of the world and the eradication of Christianity from the earth. They have over half of Europe, three-quarters of Asia, a large part of Africa, and are now taking over Latin America. They have slaughtered hundreds of millions of human beings in their bloody march to world rule. Was none of this known to God Almighty or written in His Word? We have been studying for some weeks the evil world-controlling system which was to rule all nations in this age, called Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth in Revelation 17. Jesus spoke of this time, which was to be a time of tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, Matthew 24:21. In verse 26 of Luke 21, He told His disciples that a time would come when men's hearts would fail them for fear, foreseeing those things coming upon the earth. All of the writers of the epistles gave some prophecy or clue that they too understood the age in which we live would end in a time of trouble, of great wars, famines, and a time of deception and false religions. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Micah, Malachi, and the other prophets all wrote in some detail of the time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ, and prophesied it to be a time of fear and war and dread upon all peoples and nations. Jeremiah wrote of the last battle in chapter 25, and in verse 33 I read this, "And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth." And I could go on and on for hours just reading the passages relating to the terrible time of trouble for mankind which would bring this age to a close. If you have been reading with me, and perhaps ahead of me, in the book of Revelation, you know that the fall of Mystery Babylon, described in Revelation 17 and 18, happens during that time of tribulation and trouble, and is the end of her rule and the end of man's woes upon the earth. For the chapters which follow describe the beginning of the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in a cleansed and glorified kingdom upon the earth. Last week we finished with Revelation 17 and began in the first verses of chapter 18. I will read again the first three verses of Revelation 18, Revelation 18 starting in verse 1. "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So this is John's vision of the end, or the destruction, of Babylon. Verse 3. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Mystery Babylon would exist in a time of great world trade, where the rich men of the earth would gain great fortunes by partaking in the wickedness and fornications of her evil system. Is that today? I believe it is. In verse 19 of Revelation 16, we had read that she had come in remembrance before God. And we saw in verse 1 of Revelation 17 that God was going to judge and destroy her. So now here, in Revelation 18, before God delivers the death blow to Babylon, He calls to His people. And you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is to you. Verse 4, Revelation 18. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Do not join in Babylon's sins. And remember, John tells us in 1 John 3:4, sin is transgression of the law. So Mystery Babylon's sins are transgressions of the law of God. the present world system is in violation of God's laws on money, on interest, on debt, on punishment for crime, on agriculture. The governmental and propaganda apparatus of Babylon leads its people to break God's laws on marriage and the raising of children, God's laws on agriculture and farming. We even break God's laws on the military, on government, and in our social order. And in all of this, the organizations called churches have a great part, for it is they who proclaim that God's laws are no longer in effect, that Christ put away the law at the cross. The organized church is now promoting a corrupted paraphrase of God's Word, which is called the Living Bible. And in Ephesians 2, where the King James reads in verse 15 of Christ's atoning death, quote, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, which we know to be the blood and sacrificial ordinances, which were ended by Jesus' sacrifice once for all, the so-called Living Bible has made this to read, quote, by his death he ended the angry resentment between us, caused by the Jewish laws, which favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles, for he died to annul that whole system of Jewish laws, end of quote. I better read that last phrase again. For some of you, dear people, have been buying and giving the Living Bible to your children and grandchildren, and you do not know what you are doing. It says, quote, he died to annul that whole system of Jewish laws, end of quote, from the Living Bible. Now, God's true word tells us that Mystery Babylon is an entire world ruling system violating God's laws. Now, how can God's people come out of Babylon when they are being taught there is no such thing as God's laws, that Jesus Christ annulled them on the cross of Calvary? Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 5, verse 17, reading again in the King James, of course, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus goes on in verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. In Isaiah 42:21, God says of his end of the age deliverance of his people, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. Many churches today do not magnify God's laws or make them honorable today. In fact, they dishonor God and His law by teaching that Jesus did something to the law which He did not do. Try reading your New Testament sometime, substituting the phrase transgression of the law for the word sin. And you'll see how much in error they are who teach the law is no longer in effect. Paul asks in Romans 3, verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. In Romans 7, 7, he wrote, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. How can we, without teaching God's law to our children, teach them right from wrong? The answer is obvious. We cannot. And we are raising a whole nation of people who do not know God's law. In verse 12, Paul writes, the law is holy. And in verse 14, the law is spiritual. The epistle to the Galatians is often used today to prove we are no longer under God's law. But if you will carefully read that letter, you will find it is about the law of physical circumcision. It is not about the whole body of God's law. Circumcision is mentioned 5 times in that letter, and a study of it makes it plain that the problem facing the church in Galatia was the teaching by some that the Christians must be circumcised in order to be brought under the Abrahamic covenant. Paul speaks 3 times of the yoke of bondage, and in chapter 5 he makes it plain what that yoke of bondage is. Galatians 5, starting in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now some teach that yoke of bondage is the law. But what is it? The truth is in the next verse. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That was the question in Galatia. That was the problem Paul was attempting to straighten out, whether Christians should be circumcised. And his answer, of course, takes up the whole letter, and he says no. In verse 3, For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, if those people believe they must be circumcised to be saved, then they must also offer the animal sacrifices for atonement for sin because, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Did the people in Galatia think they were justified by keeping the whole law? No, that was not the question. The question was the law of physical circumcision. Yet today, a few verses of Galatians are being used to teach that the whole law was put away, and yet it was never understood nor taught that way by the men of the Reformation. Luther, Wesley, Tyndale, and a host of others all taught God's law is an eternal standard of right and wrong, and violation of it is sin. The ordinance of circumcision was put away, as were the animal sacrifices. And Paul explained here that if physical circumcision were necessary, then all of the sacrifices were necessary, for Jesus would have accomplished nothing with his death. Verse 6, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Verse 11, And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Verse 12 of the next chapter, As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. When Paul said in verse 24 of chapter 3, Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, what law did he mean? The whole law? Nonsense. He meant the law he was writing about from chapter 1 to the end of this letter, the law of circumcision, which had become a controversy in Galatia. That must be true, or the next verse would make no sense, for there he says, But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. He could not have meant the whole law of God, else why would he have written in Romans 3:31 that faith establishes the law? Would Paul say to the Galatians that faith ends the law, and say to the Romans that faith establishes the law? No, he was saying to the Galatians that Jesus had come, and faith in him had ended the ordinance of circumcision of the flesh, and had begun the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision was the seal of the covenant with Abraham. Read it in Genesis 17, verses 9 through 11. It was necessary for the Abrahamic covenant. And in Galatians, Paul was but protesting the false teaching of those who insisted they must be circumcised in the flesh, as was Abraham, to come under the Abrahamic covenant. Not so. Paul knew, as we should, in Galatians 3:29, that if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Physical circumcision was not only not necessary, to practice it was to deny the sacrifice of Christ and the workings of faith in him to make us heirs according to the promise. Whole books have been written and unknown thousands of sermons preached, quoting a few of Paul's statements in Galatians and saying that they mean that the law of God was put away by Jesus and we are no longer under the law. and millions of our people in Christendom partake of the sins of Babylon because they do not even know what the law of God says or that they should study it and attempt to obey it. They charge or pay interest on money forbidden in God's law. They eat swine's flesh and go to early graves from disease and worms, and God's law forbids them from even touching the dead carcass of swine. They approve robbery and plunder by their own government, forbidden in the law of God. They allow and approve their nation making treaties with non-Christian nations. Such treaties are forbidden in the law of God. They elect or allow to be appointed over them aliens to their race and aliens to their religion, who rule them to their hurt, all forbidden in the law, which is cast aside and trampled underfoot by the very ones who profess to believe in the author of that law, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Israel. No wonder God will have to send out a special call to remove His people from Babylon, for we are entwined with her sins, and many of our people do not even know they are in Babylon. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. I said before that the book of Revelation is a series of visions paralleling the books of the prophets. Chapter 49, 50, and 51 of Jeremiah give the same prophecies we read in Revelation 17 and 18. And here in those chapters is the call to God's people as recorded by Jeremiah. Jeremiah 51:1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me a destroying wind." And then he goes on describing the destruction of Babylon, as we also read it in Revelation 18, and then in verse 6, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad," and the word means insane. "Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her." Millions of the people of Christendom think we can patch up the old system, that we can save that which God has decreed must be destroyed. No, my Christian friends, get out of the way. Let Babylon fall. "Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies." In verse 45, God repeats it. "My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord." Yes, it is God's anger which is going to fall on those who insist on staying with Babylon. God commands us to abandon Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Next week, God willing, we'll read on in Revelation 18 to see we not only are to abandon her, but we are going to be God's weapons of war against her. We are going to be used of God to destroy her, to bring her down to the dust. And we must and we will use the sword of the Lord, His Word, and His Spirit. My time is gone today. Until next week, when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.